were here, can you thank them for the breakfast? It's pretty good. So they made breakfast, they served breakfast, and they gave us a great glimpse into their lives. But we had a panel, so I'm going to invite our panelists to come forward, and also Tally, that were kind of unpacking with us some questions, and we didn't get to finish. There were some things that I really wanted to hear, and so we're going to finish that conversation today and hopefully open the space up for interaction with some of you and questions with some of you in the congregation. So thank you, panelists, for part two. We didn't plan this. This decision was made on Monday. So thank you for being willing to come back up and share your stories, and thanks, Tally, for facilitating this time.
No? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, there we go. All right. Everybody plugged up, ready to go? All right, great. So we are back. And I don't plan on having a professional career as a talk show host, but I thank you that you appreciated facilitating this conversation. And so we want to cover today just a little bit of what we didn't cover last week around what we call question number two, Melinda. No. And so I'm going to let each of them, so we have Melinda, Jesse, Paul, and Mary, and I'm just going to let them go for it. And then I'm going to, along the way, as you talk, insert some thoughts from the audience, so to speak, and have you reflect on those things too. Is that okay? All right. Who wants to start?
I will.
Okay. Here's the question I have bolded. Lena, you'll tell me if this is the right one or pivot. Someone make sure I know that this is the right one. It says, and this is the one in bolded that I was emailed, millennials are said to be leaving the church. But it is not only millennials. What keeps you coming back to church? Dun, dun, dun. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, I believe I'm the token old person up here, so I'm going to draw. That was wrong. I'm going to draw on my past a little bit, because there have been a couple experiences in my life that have made a huge impact on my spiritual life, and both of them speak to this question. Many years ago, I agreed to teach a middle school Sunday school class one summer, because I didn't get enough of middle schoolers in the school year, I guess. And I was looking forward to it, but it turned out that it was a major challenge for me. I had a group of probably six or eight girls, all of whom had grown up in the church, had heard the Bible stories over and over again, and had apparently decided that they knew pretty much everything there was to know about that. And it appeared to me that they looked on this class as kind of a social hour. And they were rude. They were obviously disinterested in anything that I had to say, and that wasn't working for me. I wouldn't put up with that in my classroom, and I didn't want to put up with it here. You don't kick kids out of Sunday school, so I had to figure out a different way. And the next, we kind of got through the first week, and during that next week, I just pondered that a lot. I prayed about it a lot, and I knew that this wasn't going to work. So I came up with a different plan for the next week, I told them very honestly, I was angry, I was frustrated, I wasn't sure what to do, but this is something we needed to talk about. And we did, and it came down to relevance. They didn't see anything that was going on in Sunday school that was going to affect their life in any way. And they were tired of it, and so they preferred the social hour. So I thought, okay, you've met your match. So I went on a search, and I came back with a book on the book of Philippians. And I figured that we could make that relevant to their lives. And so I talked to them about it. You know, I told them that I had been angry, that I had, I needed to know from them, you know, what they needed, and I would do what I could to provide it. So the following weeks that summer were amazing. They were engaged. They were asking questions. It was an amazing experience for me, and I realized the importance of making their coming to church worthwhile to them personally. And then I started thinking about my own upbringing. I grew up in a sound fundamental church. I became a Christian when I was a child. I was very involved in the music, in Sunday school, in youth group, all the things that kids love about church and Sunday school. And that was a very positive experience for me. But as I got older and started into my teens, I started asking some questions, and those questions were not welcome. Why is this important? You know, why is this a rule? This church was laden down with rules and regulations. And those, it appeared to me, were benchmarks of my growth in my spiritual experience. They were judgmental. I know they were sincere. They felt like they were doing what they needed to do. But very honestly, I don't think, and I didn't think then, that God cared whether I wore lipstick or not, or earrings. And so there were so many.
It was that kind of church.
It was that kind of church.
Yeah.
And it was not working for me. I did not thrive there. Young people were discouraged from going to college because they came back changed, asking questions, those same questions. So I watched one friend after another leave because it just was not meeting the needs of the young people. And eventually I left myself. My family all went there. They were married to the church. They went all the time. Several of them were ministers. They were very involved in the ministry of the church. And they were all very demonstrative about it. And they were right out in front. That was not me. And I started to question my faith. And I bounced in and out of churches for several years, and I'm not dissing any churches, but it had to do, apparently, with where I was at that time. And I was not engaging. It was not meeting my needs. And it was only when my grandson was born that I actually decided I wanted to go back to church because I wanted him to have that experience. So I started really questioning my faith. And you know, what's wrong with me? Why am I not willing or able to do this and to show everybody how I feel and be demonstrative and so forth? So I went to the obvious place to talk about this, and that was my Jewish therapist. And I told her that I had to come to grips with this, that I was questioning my faith. I did not know what was going on. I just needed to talk about it. And I said, there are things that are really important to me. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just need to decide what is really important about my faith. And her question was, or her comment was, well, then let's find the baby. What is core to your faith? And I talked about this with this Jewish woman who did not believe what I do. But she, as a matter of fact, I asked her one time if she ever felt like she was used by God. And she just looked at me, no. but I believe God sent her to me. And when I left, after talking to her, she said to me, Mary, your faith is between you and God. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's. And that was a life-changing experience for me. And I believe if we offer kids and people and millennials the real gospel, the gospel fully alive, that's going to impact their lives in positive ways and in very obvious ways, not just in the church services, but in their lives, they'll come back.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. Tough to follow, folks. In fact, Mary's generation, 7 out of 10, according to research, note 7 of 10 in her generation attached to the church, religious affiliated, as evangelicals. Mary's grandchildren, 3 out of 10. Okay, so that's a steep drop-off between the late 1980s to 2008, where Protestants or evangelicals had a sharp decline in religious affiliation with the growth of this thing called the nuns. Nun zone. They affiliated with nothing, or nuns. So, not nuns Catholic, by the way, just nuns. No spirituality. Go ahead, Melinda.
There are several reasons that came to me as I thought about this question, and I needed to look back in my history here. I grew up in this church. We had lots of programs and lots of events going on, and we had loads of
It's on. It's on.
Ben just got it.
It's on.
Growing up, can I just yell?
Is this one good? Oh, shit. Okay. So, several reasons came to me as I pondered this question, and looking back, I needed to think about my history here as I grew up in this church. We had lots of programs and events going on all the time, and but it seems to me that they were for us as members and attenders of Lake Burien Presbyterian Church. We had mission partners that we had very little interaction with, but, you know, we accept to send money to them annually or once a month. Over the past 6 or so years, and especially since Lena became our pastor, I feel like we're more hands-on and that we work in partnership with our neighbors and our community. We're paying attention. And I've come to realize that when I volunteer at church, when I work in the garden or work in the office or as a member of session, I feel more and more like I'm volunteering in and for my community and neighborhood. And that the offering that Tim and I discuss and plan to pledge for the year is, you know, it goes to Lake Burien, but it's also giving to the community. I feel that there's a real interaction and there's a coming together between.
Yeah,
thank you. That's the word I wanted. Yeah, between church and community. Last Sunday, I said that one of the things that feeds me spiritually is a darn good sermon, and it's a darn good sermon that keeps me coming back. Sermons that challenge and provoke and teach me, that give me a new way to look at life and a new way to be. Sermons that make me go, and sermons that Tim and I can dig into and discuss afterwards. Another thing that keeps me coming back is our Justice League group that meets monthly and the anti-racist training I received here, plus the emphasis from the pulpit to biblical justice and how we're all working towards and to becoming biblically just people. I feel like I'm truly learning how to be fully human and to live the gospel fully at Lake B. And lastly, we talk here at Lake B about being messy and awkward in this journey, this process to becoming fully human and to live the gospel fully. And I feel very free to ponder and question and doubt and discuss our theology and talk about my awkwardness and messiness with everybody here. It's good. So that's why I keep coming back.
Jesse, is any of that in your story too, that messiness, why you keep coming back? What part of that, I mean, is there any relate? You're the only millennial, true millennial on this panel, right? Is there anything, and I want you to tell your own story, but also I want to know, and you can even answer this yes or no. Is there anything in what you've heard from these who are not in your generation similar to your story on why you came back?
I think, here? Yeah, I think there are different parts that I can relate to, especially I think what stood out to me was the relevance. And I know I see that a lot with many of my peers, and I feel like a lot of people I know that I've gotten to know and talk to and discuss these things with, which aren't a lot of people, my age at least, they have, I don't know, church just seems like so far off for them, and like they are not, just a place where they're not, they don't fit in or they don't belong kind of thing. I know for me, something that has kept me coming back, or that has brought me back at least, was right after college, right out of college, I started working, and I just, since graduating college, I moved to California this summer, throughout the summer, and I interned out there, and I worked, and after the internship, I stayed out a little, as long as I could, but I could not afford it. On what I was making, and so I had to move back, and I just kept working out here, got a promotion, worked, and it was essentially everything that I had planned to do, and it was all part of getting to where I needed to be, where I wanted to be, my dream job, which is to become a buyer, but it all started to, so I throughout all of that, I lost my Sundays, and so Sundays were work, and I didn't have time to go to church, and I already, even towards the end of college, I kind of stopped, funny, and I think in that, I saw how normal it was to not go to church, and to not, for church to not be a thing, especially within my team. The people on my team, it was just like, oh, Sunday, you need that off. Why? It's not. It's just another day. It's another day in the weekend. And for so long, I was doing that. And I don't know. It just became, I grew up in the church. And so not going to church for that such a long period of time just felt weird to me. And And eventually, before this past summer, I felt kind of like empty and like I wanted to do more, something more for my heart and not for, not my bank account. And so that's when I began to wrestle with leaving that job. And for me, it was hard because that's what I had gone to school for, and I was so attached to this idea of pursuing a career within my field, the field of what I went to school for. And especially with my parents. And so that was a nice thing, too. I was like, I can't tell my parents that I'm leaving my job to go work for a church, to go work with kids. And so I didn't tell my dad until my last day of my job. And but I waited. So I'm not the kind of person. I definitely had something lined up already. And so that was coming to work here at the camp. And so before I left and before I had all those conversations at work, I made sure I had a job here. And I come home from work, and my dad's like, how's work, dude? And I was like, oh, it was nice. It was my last day. Yeah, it was really good. I was like, he's like, what? And I kind of told him, I had already told my mom, and so I had told her kind of like the week before, and she, it's weird because I told her and she was actually really happy, and I was like, wait, what? And she tells me, she's like, yeah, I've actually been praying for you that you would, God would open up an opportunity for you to work with kids again, and just to get back into church, because growing up, like, church was always a thing, and so after moving back from California, they're still like, we don't care where you go, just as long as you're going to church. And so she was really happy for me. But aside from all that, I think it was just, it was weird to see how normal it was for a lot of people around me, not in the church, to just not go to church and for that not to be a thing. And even this past Friday, I met up with one of my friends who was wanting to know more about the other work that we do with Lena and the high school students in the Pacific Islander community. And so we're talking about that, and he's like, yeah, I'm so excited. And I was like, yeah, dude. Also, dude, like, because he started dropping hints about church and his wife. So his wife grew up really strict and religious. That's how he was describing her. And he just said that for the past couple of years, they've been out of church. And so I was like, okay, why is that? Like, dude, you should come check out our church. We have this group called Pivot, and they're around our age. And it's cool for me because I have a place to talk about all these things that I don't really talk about with my other friends, and to really process them verbally and with other like-minded people who are in the same stage of life. And so he was like, yeah, you know, that sounds cool, but I don't know. We believe in God, but we're just not ready for that. I think that's too much. And I was like, okay, well, why is that? And I guess his wife's experience in church was she grew up in a strict, like, Christian household and very religious, very conservative. But they began to see themselves becoming really, again, like, judgmental, also kind of what she was touching on, and really hateful towards certain people and certain things and people with certain views. And they just felt like that's not really what they wanted to become. And so for them, I think that was a cool thing for me, because I was just like, okay, here's an opportunity for me to kind of live this out or work with them in that sense, because I know I didn't really have that kind of person there for me when I was going through, like, this kind of transition. But for me, I think something that has brought me back is even working with the kids. They challenge me in many ways, and I think spiritually is one of those things. And I think they put me in check a lot, especially being out of the church for so long. And also I think it's cool because this is coming here. I'd never been to a church where they are so involved with everyone outside. So it's not just contained or confined to this building. I feel like it's so active. I don't know if that's a good way to describe
it. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But I feel like in other churches, not to be shady or anything, I feel like I've grown up in churches where it's just like, okay, it's all about church. Here's church. This is church. Sunday, come to church, leave. There you go. and I feel like even coming here, it challenged me. It challenges me to not be that way, I guess, for lack of better words.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what does it say that our stories tend to be a God who is relegated to a temple and a day, a building and a day, right? What does that say about how the previous generation has tried to live out their faith on Sunday morning in a building, right? And that's more probably a commentary on how we think about God.
Right? Can I just say that just a few weeks after I saw my therapist, I walked in these doors, and the rest is history.
It's history.
You know, it's and I think I've said this to people, it's a church I've looked for all of my life. I'm not sure I knew that, but I sure figured it out when I came here.
And by the way, we didn't plan to do infomercials for Lake B. I mean, that's not what we talked about. But I think all of us have a community that ends up being a part of why we came back. There was a community that came around what we were, where our struggles were. Jesse found a community of people, right? Melinda found a community of people. And that community of people was a part of their journey to find core values to their faith that resonated with where they were. So, and Lake B's a part of that. Yay! Paul.
When I think about my journey and why I come to church, actually, as a Gen Xer, a lot of my generation has left the church as well. And when I think, about why I come to church, I think back and I could just break it down into three things. One thing is, when I was young, I think I had good mentors that took a risk with me. This quiet, shy, sit in the back corner, wallflower kind of guy. gave me an opportunity to mentored me, right? Intentionally. And gave me room to ask questions, to explore, to develop my sense of who I am. But also they gave me, the second thing is, an opportunity to actually practice my faith, to practice my leadership, and to let church be a place where I can live out some of what I'm learning. And I continued with that, and I continue my relationship with these mentors, my childhood mentors, who are now just my friends and colleagues in ministry. And so those two things were important. But the other part of it is also, through that experience, I think I began to develop my sense of my own calling, right? So practice, how am I gonna now go out and live into my calling? And through that kind of process, I realized the question I had for the church is, we spend so much time saying that Jesus is the good news, and I realized we weren't answering the question, why is Jesus the good news? And how is Jesus the good news? And so my calling really began to be, how am I gonna help others to answer those questions in their lives and to live out their calling and to understand? And you know, here's the thing is, the church spends a lot of time saying that Jesus is the good news, but we fail to demonstrate that Jesus is the good news in so many ways. And so I think that's the calling that I've began to develop in my own life. And how am I gonna empower others to live out and to understand that, in fact, Jesus is the good news? But not only just understand that, to demonstrate that and to live that and to be free in that good news. And so if I can say why, I guess I get to practice my faith, and I get to, and that's what keeps me coming back to church. And I need a church that gives me space to do that as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've developed friends and colleagues that allow me to wrestle with things and to live that out. I think unless the church is able to give space to live out the good news, then it's not. It's just not. So.
Yeah, Paul reminds me of when Kanye West was really doing good music. He did a radical song called Jesus Walks, right? And the song turned the church inside out. That to the liars, pimps, prostitutes, and drugs dealers, Jesus walks, right? And to the fundamentalist, conservative churches, Pentecostal as well, that were very conservative in how we apply Jesus' good news outside of this place, that was crazy to think that Jesus actually walks. And what it did for some of us was cause us to go back and open up the scripture again and to see, yeah, actually Jesus does walk, right, with the tax collector, right? And that was a radical notion. And I think what I hear, and I'd be interested, I don't know if we have time, Lena, to take a question from the audience, but because that's something that they wanted to do, was see if there was any questions from the audience about this. But I wonder if what millennials, as well as mainline Presbyterians, as well as conservative converts from the 60s, what we've all come across is this idea that Jesus walks outside of this place and the good news is finding out how, right? The good news is we found out how.
It's available to all of us.
Exactly, yes. So anybody wanna throw anything out before we close? What you're thinking? We got a microphone, I can run to you. I'd love to hear from you. And even if it's a question that someone wants to ask the panel or someone on the panel.
While you guys are all thinking, to me, sorry. Well, I don't know. Either way. You know, we're going to go on this. We're working on becoming an anti-racist church, and that it can only expand out into the community and make our community better. And we're all, you know, going on this trip to the South, and you know, the 30 of us, that what we learn and bring back here will just expand and go out into the community. There's it's just huge. I don't know. That's what, yeah. Anyway.
Awesome. looking. Maybe did we get, I want to make sure I miss anyone. Okay. Oh, Susan.
I wanted more kind of guarantees, like I'm doing this because I want this outcome and I want them to have this kind of life. And now that we're in that place, I don't have that kind of control. You know, it's not that same kind of world that I envisioned for them. And I have to be okay with that. And I realize that my faith has to move into this new place of it's going to look different than I thought, and that's got to be okay with me. So, I think the financial realities in the stories of how things are for the transitions, and that things aren't sort of set and on the track, that's something as a parent of millennials and a friend of millennials that I need to have my hands open to and embrace.
Thank you, Susan. Anyone else? Well, I'll close with my testimony as well, Susan, then that, as many of you know, we have four kids, and one of them, my oldest son, is Isaiah, is in his last year at the University of Washington, and we've been having a lot of discussions, he and I, and one of the things that, and Kennedy, who's also away at college, she's 19. She's one of these, dad, I've never, she rarely steps into the church, but she always does church. Right, so she's a part of Young Life Ministry. To mother, she's been to Young Life Camp 3 times, not as a participant, but as a leader at 17, 18, 19. So Kennedy watched a very active faith from her parents. Isaiah had a lot of questions. And our testimony is being willing, as Susan said, to come out of our upbringing where Jesus, we were told what Jesus was about, to letting my son find out what Jesus was about. So he could come to me and go, I found Jesus here, right? I found Jesus over here, and it wasn't in the building. And what I'm finding is, as we minister to millennials and even younger folks, that when people find Jesus out there, having a place where they can celebrate it in here means that the church has to be open to the way Jesus is showing up out there. And instead of waiting for them to come here, we join them in finding Jesus out there, whether it's through hard places like homelessness issues, justice issues, race issues, or just trying to find peace in their heart. That we help people by walking with them out there so that they feel like when they come here, it's just an outgrowth of the church they were having out there. Thank you so much, panel. Can we give them a hand? Thank you so much.